Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, it's the beginning of the week, so let's roll out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs will go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but you know, swing on over there anyways just to see what's going on. You never know what surprises might pop up. We may get the Mr. Fantasy running quarterback blog that we've been waiting for since we started the podcast. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with 3 E.
All right, so we had a lot of we could call it interesting stuff happen over the weekend, but I saw something this morning, Dan, that I really wanted to get you to kind of weigh in on and see what you think. And I noticed that the XFL has announced their TV deal. You know, their league kicks off, I believe it's February 1st of 2020. Now, they inked the deal for games to be on ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, Fox, and then Fox Sports 1 and 2. Are you impressed by the TV deal?
Well, I mean, essentially it's just Fox and Disney. But I'm impressed.
Sounds better. You know, it sounds a lot better when you throw out all the network names.
The
Alliance had what seemed like a good TV deal. You know, they were involved with CBS and the NFL Network, but, you know, in reality, the game, and I believe TNT, but in reality, the games were on the CBS Sports Network, which I don't even think many people realize is actually out there. You think this gives we get a leg up here to the XFL, and you just think it has to do with Vince McMahon being the businessman he is, or what's going on here?
Yeah, well, first of all, the AAF was headed by Charlie Ebersol, who is son of Dick Ebersol, who started Saturday Night Main Event with McMahon back in the 90s. Was in the 80s, so I don't know. I think that was Charlie not being able to work out with Vince with the XFL and just definitely rushing into it. And from some of the articles I read, you know, they were planning their opening 8 or 9 months after they announced that they were going to do it, and they actually didn't even have the money to go through with what they were trying to do until, like, the 12th hour. And then it's also reported that he tried to get Vince to merge the two as soon as the season started. So the AAF was basically bound to fail from the day they opened their mouth. So, you know, kind of throwing that out there, I don't think it's a real big surprise that they didn't survive. I mean, when you brought it up to me at first, I honestly thought that, you know, they were a leg up and maybe they'd have a better, they would negatively affect Vince and his company, but it looks like it went the other way around. And I do think with McMahon taking the time, almost 2 years to put this together, was a lot smarter. But, you know, and then securing the Fox deal, which I think helped him out that he's got SmackDown on Fox now. And then with the mothership, I mean, you see how they promote the NBA, so you definitely want to be a part of Disney.
Yes, that's true. Everybody wants to be a part of us. I mean, oh, sorry, I was, somewhere else there.
Well, you know, and the other side of it too is, you know, now that Disney has bought 21st Century Fox, I don't know how it completely works. I know the regional networks, you know, your Fox Sports Ohio's or whatever are going to be owned by the Sinclair Network. So, I mean, essentially, if they're, you know, national Fox networks, I believe technically Fox and ESPN are all under the Disney umbrella now. So, I mean, the biggest thing I know with working with Disney is that as long as Vince McMahon is squeaky clean, you know, everything's going to turn out pretty well.
Yeah, well, you know, the interesting thing with that Sinclair deal is, you know, they also own Ring of Honor. You know, it's an indie promotion. Yeah, they're the major shareholder, whatever you want to call them, investor in Ring of Honor. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects them going forward, because they really don't have a major TV deal. They've never had any success on television. So it'll be interesting to see if this maybe, you know, does anything for them, and, you know, they can get a foothold to attempt to compete with good old Vince. But I don't doubt that's going to happen.
But I think they would be more of an alternative than a competition. And I mean, to be honest, I didn't know they were still around, and I hope their business model has changed since, you know, the days when we went to a handful and every match was 30 minutes long and they were all the same match.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know for a short period of time, they had a Saturday night show on, what's the channel called? I know I get it through Pluto TV and it's actually local here, but I'm drawing Stadium on Stadium. You know, it was, but that, I'm assuming that must have expired because I haven't seen it in the TV guide on the channel lately. So, and they just added a bunch of stuff non-sports related, so that didn't help anybody. But yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, I thought it was, you know, like you mentioned, Eversaw, you know, the kid with the alliance. You know, the father Dick also helped Vince McMahon get XFL off the ground, the original.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I thought that, you know, with it being run by Ebersol, and, you know, they had a lot of really good football minds involved, but, you know, I mean, I guess if you, you know, you don't have the money, there's nothing you can do about it, right?
No.
So, but yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting thing when the TV deal came out today. I was kind of like, oh, hey, look at this. He's racking up a couple pretty good partners there. You said Disney and Fox. So, I don't know how successful this will be for him. I mean, we are still talking about a alternative football league, but, you know, hey, who knows?
Yeah, and, you know, maybe he'll, well, you know, supposedly is using the mistakes that they made to learn from it. So I don't really know what that constitutes, but I would assume there's no kickoffs in this league too. Because I mean, you and I have discussed it. The kickoff. I mean, let's be honest. The kickoff has become just a complete waste of time in the NFL today.
Yeah, it's probably timed. Get rid of the kickoff. You know, there's really no reason to have it anymore. I mean, why bother with it? So, but yeah, you know, I don't know if, you know, are they still going to do? Remember, they had the race to the ball in the original XFL to see who got possession first. You know, if they're going to do something like that, or what kind of, you know, what kind of plan he's got going on, but you know, I guess, you know, we'll find out here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but I would think after, almost 20 years, well, when the season starts, it will be like 20 years. I would think that he was taking this a lot more serious than just having a kind of riding the waves of the Attitude Era and the gimmicks.
Yeah, I'm sure, he learned from his mistakes. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing this. I mean, he's, just from what you kind of learn from him from watching, if you've watched wrestling all these years, is, he's good with his money. So, he wouldn't be throwing it away here if he didn't think he could get something accomplished. But yeah, I'm still not sold on how successful, any of this stuff is actually going to be. But, I guess maybe if they can get a little name value, maybe they can get enough to stay ahead of the game. But I don't know. In the end, I don't know. I don't know about you, but in the end, I don't expect them to be really successful. Do you?
Not really. But I'm not a big football guy, so.
Yeah, but to be fair, we week one when they kick off, I'll be there watching. Whatever game is on, I'll look at it. I mean, just like I did with the Alliance, I will definitely check it out and see what's happening. So.
I don't know. When I tried watching the Alliance, it was just so boring.
What I will give the Alliance credit for is they got better as the season went out. So I think maybe if they would have had an actual exhibition season, because I think the team just played like one game. I think if they could have got a couple games under their belt, or if they could have found a way, but they probably didn't have the money for it, if they could have found a way to get a little more work in, the games would have been better right out of the gates, and maybe that would have kept more people around. Again, I still don't think in the end they would have been successful, but I think they could have given people better football because, those first games, there was no way I was going back to watch a full game after that first week because it was, as much as I hate saying it, was just bad football. So, but then we will move on here. Really, switch up here. One of the big things over the weekend that, of course, you didn't see, the Kentucky Derby. I like the whole cutting humor, and I believe he may still be on the track. I'm actually not sure if he finished. So there's a chance he's still running. I don't know. I'll have to double check. I'll have to call Churchill down to see. So, again, what I always say is never bet on anything I tell you. Go the other way. But, yeah, it was you want to call it interesting? What do you want to call it?
It was a race.
It was the most – it tied for the most watched Kentucky Derby in history.
What was the draw? I mean, was it the fact that there was a Triple Crown winner last year?
No, honestly, I think, there was a lot of bad weather in certain areas. So what do you do when you got bad weather? You go inside and you watch television or you play video games, right?
Yeah, well, there was bad weather for the Derby, too.
Right. So, it just kind of one of those things that I believe helped them. And, I also think what may have helped it out is there was no, like, predominant favorite. Going into the race, there were really three or four horses that could win. Because the two of the favorite horses got scratched earlier in the week. Actually, I think one got scratched like the night before, or two nights before. That kind of opened it up. I mean, when you're looking at, nobody's going to dominate. That kind of you know, that kind of makes it a little more interesting, right, when anybody can win.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you know, I mean, did you get to see it? You were at the rate, weren't you?
Yeah, I told you I was in the Scouts Lounge, dining out at the White Sox Fine Dining.
You know, Mr. Fan.
The rate.
So, you know, now were you buying that as interference?
I don't know. I didn't have the greatest view of the TV. They only have 35 inches.
Yeah, you know, I watched all the replays, and I kind of understood what they were looking at, or, you know, what they were trying to do, even though I don't know much about it. And honestly, I don't think that he impeded that horse from winning the race. But, they made the call and decided to DQ Maximum Security. And the big 65-1 shot got the win. So if you'd have bet your money right, you could have cashed a big ticket. You know, I know Kevin Millar and John Lester won $13,000, I think it was $240 on a $200 bet. So, you know, and the interesting thing about that was their logic for making the bet was because it was the horse John Lester drew in the Cub pool. So, yeah, the only reason they bet it was because Lester drew it. And I guess Lester and John Lackey went in on a bet, and so did Kevin Millar and Josh Beckett. They both ended up winning because they had country house or horse or country whoever won home, whatever that horse's name was that won.
I forgot.
So, you know, yeah, just one of those, you know, odd, you know, first time in history, actually, that the winner had been disqualified. They've had some disqualifications before, but never the actual winning horse. And I did see they said the trainer came out today and said that Maximum Security won't run in the Preakness, and they are going to appeal the Derby decision. You know, I guess, you know, in reality, I don't know how much that actually means, but you know, nobody's giving their money back if they actually win the appeal. So we'll have to see. But yeah, you know, I mean, it made for, you know, for an interesting race. And then what I got a big kick out of, I'm sure you probably, being that you were at the game, weren't watching Twitter or anything that's going on, I think just about every sports person in my Twitter feed complained about how long the replay was taking. And there were guys like, well, you know, if this was the NFL, they would be killing them right now. Or if this was baseball, everybody would be complaining. Like, dude, what do you think you're doing right now? You're complaining. I'm like, you know, this is the biggest horse race of the year. They want to get it right. You know, so.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
you know, it wasn't easy.
Isn't there a completely huge difference between the amount of time that any of the four major sports take on a replay compared to a 2-minute race?
Yeah, you know, well, that was just, like I said, I just thought it was humorous that, I mean, right away, I mean, it didn't say, oh, God, this replay's taking so long. Well, when was the last time you saw a replay at the Kentucky Derby? You know, I mean, how long do they usually take? You know, I mean, they had like four or six different views. They looked like you watching, you know, baseball games. They had all the devices out, all the TVs up, and, you know, they were checking out all the different views and trying to get it right. And, you know, it was like, shut up, idiots. Let them take their time and figure it out. If you don't want to know, you know, change the channel. So, but yeah, you know, again, it didn't help me anyways, because, you know, like I said, my horse is still on the track. So, you know, and I never did get Stu to make a pick, so I don't know what horse he was going with. I doubt he would have went with country horse. So, You know, we shall see how the next one goes. I think the next race is in a couple weeks, so we'll see. You know, I don't know if this horse is a Triple Crown contender or anything, but hey, you never know, right? So, and how was your game on Saturday? Who they lost to the Red Sox, right? Was that a blowout or?
Oh yeah. Oh, I don't even. It was a football game. I mean, I made the joke. I made the joke in the third inning, I believe it was, and my daughter wanted to go do something, and I looked at my brother-in-law, and I go, just a couple more runs, and we'll go. And the next one, we never really got up because they scored 9 runs in that one inning. So, I mean, it was a complete blowout. I do have to say, if you're on StubHub and you see Scout, the Magellan Scouts, whatever. They are pricey, about $100. For Saturday's game, for a Saturday, you know, prime time, 6 o'clock against the World Series champion Red Sox, they were $160 apiece, which is a little steep, except for when you factor it. Well, you got to buy parking. No, I think parking comes with that. I could be wrong. But when you factor in that it's all you can eat and all you can drink, you go ahead and spend that money if you're only doing that one game. And then you make sure you get there 2 hours before the ballpark opens. They serve the food all the way through the top of the seventh. And then they remove the food and bring out the desserts for the eighth and ninth inning. And, well, I think in the seventh or eighth inning, it becomes a cash bar. So then... You know, you can actually hang out in their scout club after the game. And I think, you know, the entrance is right next to the visitor's clubhouse. So one bathroom / food trip. We've seen the Red Sox bullpen being golf carted around the stadium. So that was pretty cool. And I saw Chuck Garfine.
Oh. Did you swear at him? You know.
No, I didn't get a chance to. It was too far away. But the biggest star of them all that we saw was R2-D2. So.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, with the fourth or whatever they were doing. Crap.
Yeah, but, you know, he wasn't taking pictures with people. I don't know. I guess too big of a star for that. No, I got a shot at him.
You know, he may still be in mourning. Remember, Chewbacca just passed away a couple of days ago. So.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he is the biggest star from Star Wars. So,
you know, you gotta give him. Yeah, he has feelings and stuff. So you gotta be careful.
So no, but I mean, you know, my cheap ass didn't know about all the amenities. So, you know, I brought my bag with my 2 liters of water. Because I was not about to spend $4.55 on a, you know, measly 16-ounce bottle of water that costs $1 at your local gas station. So it was a pleasant surprise to be gifted these tickets. And then, you know, we were fifth row. We were sitting right behind Windy City Limousine owner, something Jacob, the guy who, behind home plate every game wearing his M&M's race jacket.
And he's a sponsor. Sponsor on the radio.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's a big sponsor. So, like I said, I mean, if you're a fan out there and you're coming to Chicago and you're really not wanting to spend $160 to sit in really cramped seating at Wrigley, and then paying, you know, $10 for every beer and then $7 for a hot dog. Coming from a Cubs fan, I highly suggest going on StubHub and getting those scout seats and for an all-inclusive event. And you don't even have to worry about showing up early to get any of the promo gifts because they make sure that everyone who's got a scout ticket gets their promotion.
And you wonder why Mr. Fantasy likes to sit in there, huh?
Does he get those seats? I thought he sits in the suite.
Yeah, well, you know, those kind of areas, they're kind of similar, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the suite is up top. You know, you get your own private suite, but it's not the same as the scout.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all you can eat, and you get the promo stuff. So, you know, a lot of menus are similar.
Yeah. Well, we had prime rib, though.
Yeah, well, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure they had, you know, that or more. You know, they probably had Kobe beef up there. So.
Well, yeah, no, the sweets don't get the treatment that the scouts get. Scouts love it.
Oh, so, yeah, you know, but, yeah, that's always, you know, a good thing. Too bad you didn't see a better game. Well, of course, I guess, you know, it didn't matter.
No. Well, no, I mean, what was not so bad about it? The Red Sox did what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
In an era where a lot of times championship quality teams like the Red Sox come into teams like this and, you know, get crushed themselves. So, I mean.
Well, they had been pretty bad going in, so they kind of woke up against the White Sox. We'll have to see if they can keep it going. They got another bad team tonight. You know, they're going to Baltimore.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they can roll in. They better, because I have three Red Sox in my FanDuel lineup tonight, so I need them to continue to hit.
Well, I do have to ask you, though. Saturday night, did you have was it Michael Chavis in the lineup in your home run derby?
No, I did not. I did not hit any home runs on Saturday. Did not hit any home runs on Monday. I probably won't hit any home runs today. So, you know, I did not. Just terrible. But I did, you'll get a kick out yesterday, obviously, here on the podcast, Mr. Fantasy. We're talking about our Money League team. And I wanted to start Nick Senzel this week. He did not, because he's a rookie. And three home runs
later. Three home runs later?
Yeah, well, we wouldn't have got the first one because that was last week. But today he hit two solo shots. He was, you know, 2 for 6 with 2 home runs. Humorously, he did strike out 3 of the other times and then grounded, and Pablo Sandoval got him to ground into a double play. So it was definitely a stat line, but the 2 home runs would have been huge in our league. But, you know, we got his guy, Sergio Hernandez, at second base, 2 of them. So finding playing time for Senzel, at least until he qualifies as an outfielder, is going to be very difficult for us because, oddly, Dan, I think I went over this last year with you. We have this league in this rule in our league where when a guy makes his debut, if he starts at a position other than what he's listed at, he automatically qualifies at that position the next week. Well, Senzel started in center field last week for the Reds. This week, when we went to look, he was still only a second baseman. So somehow, and this is in a row, 2 years in a row this has happened to Mr. Fantasy and I. Somehow, this rule doesn't work for us. So, I don't know, you know, and they gave him some really stupid reasons last year on why guys didn't qualify. It was just wild, and I let it go. I assumed this year he was going to ask again. I was like, don't bother. We're going to get some reply. If this happened to anybody else, they'd freaking out and, you know, wanting to change the rules like they did for football last year when they started making trades after the season had ended. So, we'll just have to wait and see how it goes for us.
But, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've contemplated talking to you and maybe, you know, relieving you from having to work with Mr. Fantasy, but it's not going to happen, is it? I'll be right back.
Yeah, and then, obviously I mentioned Pablo Sandoval got the pitch, so you can guess that game was a blowout. Early start time today in Cincinnati, they had like an 11:30 start. The Reds went on to beat the Giants 12-4. Got rolling right out of the gate. Cincinnati put up 5 in the first, 2 in the second, and it was pretty much over from there. I mentioned, you know, Senzel went 2 for 6 with the 2 bombs. Joey Votto went 2-for-4. I don't believe he homered, though. No, he did not. Where are we going? Eugenio Suarez went 2-for-4. He did homer. Puig was 1-for-3. Jose Iglesias was 3-for-5 with a double and a triple. So, you know, if you had your daily guy, your weekly league rolling, you know, they put up some numbers for you. I know there were 4 Reds hit. I know Votto got hit. Giant-wise, you know, Brandon Bell was 1-for-1 and scored a couple runs. But, yeah, you know, he did double, and Pablo Sandoval did homer, so you had that going. Pitching-wise, if you started Drew Pomeranz, he got rocked. Only lasted 1 2/3, 9 hits, 7 runs, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts, gave up 3 bombs, and all his runs were earned. He took the loss. On the Red side, it was Anthony DeScalfani getting the win. 6 innings, 4 hits, 4 runs, only 3 were earned, 2 walks, and 8 Ks. So he did rack up some stuff there. Dan's guy, Zach Duke, worked a couple innings, only gave up 1 hit, a walk, and a couple strikeouts. And Wandy Peralta wrapped it up for the Reds, 1 inning, 1 strikeout. The Giants rolled through their bullpen. Nick Vincent pitched an inning and 2/3, didn't give anybody anything up. Pat Vendetti came in. He's the switch pitcher. He went 1 1/3, 3 hits, 5 runs. They were all earned. Walked 2, struck out 1, and I believe he hit 3 of the 4 guys that got hit. Sam Dyson got a little work, 2/3 of an inning. I don't know who Bergen is, but he did balk. He also walked a guy. And then the Panda pitched an inning. He pitched a clean inning. I believe the Panda was the only Giant to pitch an entirely clean inning in the entire game. So there you go. Your early wrap-up. We did have a couple games get rolling. The White Sox jumped out ahead of the Indians 3-0. That game's in the bottom of the third. And then the Yankees jumped out on the Mariners 2-0. That's now in the bottom of the second. I know Yoan Moncada hit a 2-run homer for the White Sox in the first inning. I don't know how they scored their third run. I didn't have the game on when that happened. But, Luke Voit hit his 10th home run off the kick in the bottom of the first for the Yankees, and that's how they got their 2 runs. So, we got, some action going, some action starting, like I said, early. Even though they're in Cleveland, I think the White Sox game still started at like 5 o'clock, excuse me. And then the Yankees game started at 5:30. So it was a little, it's always nice to get a little early baseball going on. That's a, that's a big plus. And of course, we got other stuff rolling when my, internet catches up with me. I'll tell you what else we have going on here, because my internet runs hit or miss from time to time. It's not Thursday, March 28th. Why do I want to look at that? Where is the Monday schedule? Why would they give me that? Do they not like me? It's like May 6th, right? Why am I back in March? So let's try it this way. See what they want to do here. Oh, as I look up, I think Brett Gardner just homered. So there you go. We're rolling along to the Yankees. All right, here we go. We're caught up now. Like I said, the Red Sox are the Orioles. What do we got? The Twins are at the Blue Jays. The D-backs are at the Rays. The Nationals are at the Brewers. The Marlins are at the Cubs. The Phillies are at the Cardinals. The Royals are at the Astros. The Braves are at the Dodgers. And the Mets are at the Padres. Interestingly, the Braves have Kevin Gausman listed as their starter, but I saw he was suspended for 5 games for hitting Jose Urena. I don't know if he'd appeal and make the start tonight and then sit out or what they'll end up doing. But, no surprise there that he picked, he's going to make the one start. It was legitimately obvious that he was throwing at him. And, I think he deserves to miss at least one start. So we'll see how that goes. But,
What's annoying is the Reds didn't have their pitcher listed at starting this morning, and I missed cutoff. No.
Oh.
Because I ran all my lineups this morning at like 7:30, whatever time. Yeah, like after, right after 7:30, before 8 a.m. And I put everyone in, because I immediately scroll down to pitchers. You can kind of. If you miss on a batter, sometimes it's not the end of the world. I'd rather not
Yeah.
miss on a pitcher, so I always scroll down to the bottom first. And they didn't have him in, and then whatever time that game started today, I saw the Senza hits two, and I'm like, and I went and just double, I was going through the lineups just to double check everything. And that was the one pitcher I didn't get in, so I was a little annoyed by that.
Oh, and he had a really good outing, too. That sucks.
Yeah, go figure.
Oh, boy. Dan, the King doesn't have it tonight. He's given up three bombs already. He just gave up back-to-back homers. No.
Ooh, rough.
That's not good. But I did want to jump on here real quick. As you know, when the Cubs started out 1-6, I don't know, there was a lot of noise here where you and I live, and you know, people shooting their mouths off and talking about how this team is no good and it's not gonna, you know, it's not a playoff contender, and, you know, all the other garbage that goes on with it. Well, you know, I believe you and I were just kind of the guys who said, you know, shut up, it's seven games. This, of course, proceeded on for the next, I don't know, month and a half, almost 2 months, however long we're into the season. And magically last night, the Cubs get the big sweep over the Cardinals, and they're now in first place in the NL Central. Now, you know, maybe they won't stay there, but obviously it's a fantastic comeback from where they were. You know, I'm going to ask you as a Cubs fan, Dan, because you're a much bigger fan than I am, what the hell are these people's problems?
I'm going to go with the reporter one, the reporter excuse, that they were spoiled with 2015 being too early.
What?
And then the World Series win. Well, they didn't win until 16. So.
Oh, okay. So.
Well, you know, I mean, the problem was they weren't winning. And then to add on top of that, you know, they didn't win the offseason. They didn't sign Bryce Harper and Manny and magically trade away, you know, they didn't trade away, you know, their entire outfield, including Jason Hayward and Almora and, you know, name off whoever else. And then they didn't get rid of Addison Russell like everyone thought they would. You know, so that was the reason why they weren't playing well. And oddly, I just find it funny that you got to wonder if Jason Hayward will opt out now, because I believe this is the year he gets to opt out, if he really even wants to stay here. And I don't think that has anything to do with the organization as much as the scapegoating that he's received over the last couple of years. And I wouldn't blame him if he opted out and signed a pretty sweet deal with St. Louis again or, you know, some other contender. You know, with the Yankees outfield the way it's been, they can always use another guy, right? Because everyone keeps getting hurt.
Well, I believe he's in the last year of his contract.
Who?
For the Yankees. I believe Rick Gardner's in the last year of his deal. So they could use an outfielder.
See, I mean, I was just being a smart ass because I know, like, everybody's on the IL with the Yankees outfield. But, you know, it's baffling to me. I mean, it was the beginning of the season. I mean, there's a lot of factors that play into it. And, you know, one of the things that other reporters brought up was the fact that Joe has been relying a little bit more on his coaches and such. And, you know, does that have anything to do with the fact that he's a quote-unquote lame duck manager? He doesn't have his extension. I mean, I don't really see him, his philosophy or style of managing changing, except for kind of being a smartass in the off season, you know, talking about here's my book on how to coach millennials, which I think it was just Joe being Joe to steal that Manny, me being Manny. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think a collection of over the past few years, his styling of management really hasn't worked in Chicago like they thought it would. And his slowly, you know, eliminating like small things like batting practice you know, the attitude that all these guys are pros and they know how to hit. Well, yeah, that is the truth. But, I mean, since eliminating batting practice and not making it more or less mandatory, I mean, is it coincidental that everyone's hitting's kind of gone down? Or is that just me? Because, I mean, the whole point of batting practice isn't the fact that they're doing repetitive acts because they don't know how to. It's the fact that at Wrigley Field, being an open-air stadium and in the city of Chicago, literally the wind direction, the whole nine, is going to be different 81 games. It's never going to be the same as if you were to play in a dome. Say, like, where did he used to coach Big Jack? Oh, that's right, in Tampa, where it's a dome and nothing changes as far as wind. Maybe your exit velocity, right? Maybe that might change. So, you know, what works in Tampa doesn't always work in Chicago. You were going to say something?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to throw something in. So, I mean, you know, it killed me. And then I think what made everyone even more mad was the fact that everyone's favorite Cub, Chris Bryant, hasn't been, you know, on the MVP caliber, so to speak, to lead it off. And then they can't go blame Jason Hayward anymore because, you know, he's batting 300-something. But we never talk about Anthony Rizzo. You know, he's the whatever you want to call him of this team. The Brian Urlacher of this team, I guess you would say, you know, being we're here in Chicago. So, you know, it's baffling to me where, you know, everyone was upset that the Cubs didn't go out and get Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, which I don't see them into this lineup making that big of a difference as to where they'd be right now. What do you think, two games? I don't even know if that's true because Bryce Harper will hit you two home runs, but then he might strike out seven times over the next 4 days. You know, he's going to get an extra walk here and there. I didn't really see how he was going to make that great of an impact. And, you know, the biggest thing they didn't do was sign any relief pitching. Like you mentioned 8,000 times during the offseason.
They signed Brad Brock. They signed Brad Brock.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, you can't say they didn't sign anybody. So.
Well, you know, and the thing that kills me, too, is when you look at this pitching staff, I mean, everyone all day, every day is talking about youth, youth, youth. I mean, I haven't looked at the other staffs, but there's, what, like three guys under 30? So there's really no longevity that's coming out of this pitching staff, whether it's the rotation or the bullpen. There's, you know, in 2 years, none of these guys are going to be here. 3 years. I guarantee that. Maybe Hendricks because he got that 4-year deal. But after that, you know, well, you know, he's already been traded by the fans. So it's just a matter of time, right? I don't know.
So, yeah, no, it's, you know, it's going to, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, I mean, you know, I went in thinking they had the best starting lineup and the best starting rotation in the division.
Yes.
So I wasn't super panicked about anything. I mean, I obviously, you know, you don't want anybody to get off to a slow start like they did.
No.
But, you know, it happens. And I, you know, I just didn't get it when, you know, I mean, we're 8 games in and people are, you know, they're off the bandwagon. It's like, we're 8 games in. What the hell are you doing? So,
well,
you know,
not only that, I mean,
you know,
you think you go back to everyone being mad at the Ricketts. And I mean, Mr. Ricketts, I forget, it's Tom, right? Tom Ricketts. He should have never said anything to begin with. Or, you know, well, you know, I mean, he shouldn't have been out of the public, let Jed and Theo blame him for, quote unquote, not having the money to spend it. But I told you this when I heard this to begin with, after I kind of let it simmer and evaluated what he was saying. And to me, what I interpreted that as, he was confident in the lineup that they had. And almost every single one of those guys that's on the field into that roster. I don't see where you lacked any confidence that you would need Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. And, you know, in situations like that, that's where you usually throw in. I don't see where they would need a Bryce Harper or a Manny Machado, but, I mean, let's be honest. Everyone wanted those two guys. So those were the only two guys that played the field this offseason that were going to be talked about with this team. And, you know, it is a little weird. I mean, I still don't understand the signing of Daniel Descalzo. Didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Maybe it will. Sometime later, I don't know, unless they get rid of Russell for some, you know, pitching. But, I mean, his signing really made no sense to me. And then you secure up David Bodie, which still kind of leaves you in some confusion. So I could see Cubs fans being a little confused as to where they're going. Yeah, you know, other than that, I mean, I don't know why you jump off the bandwagon so quickly.
Well, you know, they locked Bodie up so they could get rid of Chris Bryant after he started off so slow because that's what everybody wanted him to do. So you tie that up.
Yeah, does Kyle Schwarber still play for this team?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, luckily everybody had been killing Chris Bryant. Otherwise, they probably would have been killing Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, it's funny because the one guy I worked with.
You know, Bryant's actually hitting much better. You know, he hit the grand slam last night.
Yeah.
He's actually got his average up to 243, which, believe it or not, is better than Rizzo's. They just never – well, Rizzo's a naturally slow starter, so it doesn't matter. He'll be okay. Okay, so Bryant can't have a slow start, morons. So, but, yeah,
no.
Luckily for Schwarber, you know, he's scuffling.
He's, like, kind of dwindled into the background.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he'll ever be the 40-homer guy a year they promised us.
No.
So.
I get it, you know, kind of backing him, but I still think that after that World Series, it should have been immediate trading block because he's not suited for the NL. He's been better off being a designated hitter full time.
I know. Yeah, well, you know, humorously, I know you probably didn't hear us on the podcast yesterday, but while we were covering our FanDuel stuff, and this just made me laugh because we were going through first baseman, and Mr. Fantasy actually asked me if I knew who Dan Vogelbach was before this year.
Is he kidding? Was he kidding?
No, he was not. So, obviously, someone else who doesn't listen to the podcast. So,
well, I mean, did you, like, rephrase that question and ask him?
No. I was very polite. I just told him that he was a former Cub prospect, and we moved on. I let it go. I didn't want to, I didn't want to make too big a deal out of it. But, yeah, I thought that was quite humorous because, obviously, he doesn't listen to you and I during the week when – you know, we mentioned him multiple times before, you know, he really kind of hit it big. So we'll, I just let that go.
Hey, when was he drafted by the Cubs? Was it 11 or 13?
Oh boy. Let me see if I can bing him real quick here and get some stats on him. You know, I know they got Mike Montgomery for him in the trade.
Yeah.
I don't know when he was picked here. Let me see what pops up. All right. Vogelbach was drafted by the Cubs in the second round of the 2011 MLB June Amateur Draft.
Hey, look at that. I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, because he was drafted the first big top Superman third baseman, Mike Alt, right? Or was Mike Alt 12? Because Mike Alt was going to be the next guy, and then Vogelbach was the next guy.
So, well, remember, Alt they traded for, he was a Ranger.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You know, they, and so, yeah, I don't remember when, you know, when he ended up being actually drafted. You know, yeah, he was a top prospect for a very long time before that eye injury kind of just shut him down. I mean, I know he floated around, and I think he still might be floating around somewhere. But
yeah, well, I think he's in the White Sox system. Well, he was last year.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing was it wasn't even – he had vision problems. Well, I don't remember if he had an injury. Did he? Because I know he had LASIK, and Uncle Bob was like, oh, yeah, this guy. And I'm like, man, you just reiterate what you read or what, you know, David Kaplan tells you.
Yeah, Alt was actually – the 49th pick in the first round of the 2010 draft. Hasn't played in the majors since 2015. He played 24 games with the White Sox. Let me see if he's still hanging around here somewhere in the minors or somewhere. 2019, he is with Long Island in the Atlantic League. He's played in 7 games so far, and he's hitting 0.83.
Wow, and that's the independence.
Yeah. But, yeah, it looked like he spent a little time with the Red Sox last year. After the White Sox, it looks like he actually went back to the Cubs, spent some time in the minors there, then ended up with San Diego in their minors, then to the Red Sox, and now he's in the independent league. But yeah, for a long time for the Rangers, he was a big time prospect. He had a 28 homer season at Double A, you know, 1 year, and he looked like he was going to be the guy. And for whatever reason, if the eyes or whatever happened, I mean, he just got derailed and never
recovered.
In 3 seasons in the majors, he's played in 135 games. He's a 168 hitter. So, and obviously if you're having problems with your eyes, you're not going to be able to hit.
No. Speaking of issues with the eyes, our local NBC Sports Chicago seems to always have issues with their eyes and things they publish. Last week, I believe I brought it up to you, and here was them, putting out an article stating, oh, are the Bears going to replace Cody Parkey with Robbie Gould? And, I brought up the fact that how can you replace the guy that's already gone? So, that one was kind of funny to me. But I saw today that the Bears traded away a 7th round pick for the 2021 draft for the Raiders kicker.
Well, for one guy who's in the Raiders camp, he's not actually the Raiders.
Oh.
Actually the Raiders. So.
Yeah. Well, I
yeah.
Just
well, you know, they
thought through.
Last week they brought in 8 kickers for a tryout. The Bears did. So they're definitely searching. But yeah, we'll see if maybe this guy's the answer since they traded for him. They must like him. I don't know. I didn't realize it was that difficult to find a kicker. Teams seem to not have any problems doing it except for the Bears. So. and I'm sure, looking at this team, my guess is they're looking for the cheapest option they can find so they can save money on the salary. That's the other reason why you're not going to see Robbie Gould here. He was franchised by the 49ers, which means they have to pay him. And the Bears aren't going to, because they're still paying Parkey. So so they're not going to bring in another salary kicker like that. You know, they're looking for a minimum salary type of guy that can, you know, can do the job and get them through. So that's just what you're gonna see here. You're not gonna see a Robbie Gould or a Steven Gostkowski or an Adam Vinatieri, guys like that. They're not coming to Chicago. Maybe to visit, but not to play for the Bears. So, but yeah, that's always that was kind of interesting because I was reading at the tryout. The first thing that Matt Nagy made him do was kick a 43-yard field goal because that's what Parkey missed in the playoff game. And apparently only 2 of the 8 guys made it on their first try.
Wow. Whatever happened to professional kickers, Big Jack?
Well, you know, the thing is, I actually probably would have sent those 6 guys home who missed right after they missed. I'd have been like, okay, get your stuff, you're done. You know, and just start looking at the 2 guys who made it. But I guess they gave them more attempts, you know, as they went through. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess there's just a shortage of quality field goal kickers or, you know, is soccer becoming more lucrative that we can't lure these guys away to kick field goals?
I guess. I mean, my brother-in-law let us know his accounting firm he works for down in Nashville owns the new Nashville soccer club that will be a part of the MLS next year or this year.
How about that?
And his son, you know, super big comedian, was like, oh, Dad, I guess it'll be you and the 14 guys you work there at the game, huh?
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't know. I did not know that Nashville was a soccer town. So,
well, you know, as we're rambling on before we run out of time, the rumor is that Nashville is trying to coerce the NBA to bring the Grizzlies over from Memphis because I guess it doesn't, because I know all the NBA you watch and all the Grizzlies games you're streaming. I guess they don't do as well down in Memphis.
No. So not at all.
You know, my first question was, would they be smart? I mean, if the NBA, I get it, the lineage or whatever, but I don't know if the Vancouver/Memphis Grizzlies have a super rich history to begin with. For me, I'm like, if they came over to Nashville, you know, I asked, you know, my nephew, cause you know, he knows a little bit more obviously living there. I was like, well, would they be the Nashville Grizzlies or would they finally think of something better? I don't know. Call them anything. Just get rid of that Grizzlies. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, remember what, you know, they were originally the Vancouver Grizzlies, which made a whole lot more sense.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah, that makes
sense. They're really long. You know, they, for whatever reason, they kept the name when they moved them. When Seattle moved to Oklahoma City, they didn't become the Oklahoma City Supersonics. So, you know, I don't know why they didn't come up with a good name for Memphis. You know, had to be something out there.
You know, it's interesting. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just kind of wanted to know what you thought, but that time. sportstimeradio.com.